Now, when we're in the, see, we're in the serpent decanate with Mars, and we're definitely overcoming this serpent, although the final overcoming cannot really occur unless Mercury plays its role, dispelling illusion, and also dissipating glamour. But under the 10 to 20 phase, for the person who's in the stage of disciple soul, we have Jupiter. The disciple is increasingly in charge of his forces. He is moving with subtlety to manage and heal his own energies and those of others. This is the Ophiuchian kind of impulse, handling previously poisonous energies with a healing effect. His depth of wisdom is growing. That's Jupiter and Pluto providing the depth. He is attuning with the eighth petal of the egoic lotus, which, when fully unfolded, will indicate, well, when even partially unfolded, will indicate that the second initiation has been taken. And the full unfoldment of the sixth petal will correlate there. So he's attuning with the eighth petal and with the general energy of sacrifice rendered altruistically, which is occurring with the unfoldment of the sixth petal. He is learning to relinquish for the sake of love. And this DK tells us about in relation to the eighth petal, and he talks about the various sacrifices which are finally deliberately undertaken in relation to the sixth petal. He's not yet, let us say, the initiate of the second degree, but he can achieve this in this disciple soul phase. Now we move to the moon phase. You know, it's Scorpio, 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 Pisces, Scorpio, Cancer. So we're in the moon phase, and hence we may also invoke other planets, which may be veiled by the moon. The disciple is becoming the triumphant disciple under the influence of the constellation Hercules, the extra-zodiacal constellation, which we are associating with the decanate 20 to 30. He has integrated his energies under Cancer, and his vehicles, the moon, are responding to both Neptune, the intuition, and Uranus, occult mind. The solar angel Venus is infusing his vehicles. So this is the general condition of things. The moon is falling in Scorpio, indicating the disciple's triumph. Well, it is a growing triumph until he becomes really the triumphant initiate here. He sacrifices his personality, embraces others as souls, and defends, there's this power of Hercules, defends others as souls. He's really living at this point, and I want to add this, living according to the spiritual will of Vulcan, and using strength of will to, let's just say, fortify his disciplic position and to aid others. So a number of influences are coming in here, and I want to stick with the idea that, at least initially interpretively, that Vulcan may be a powerful planet which is emerging in this sign behind the moon. In other words, the grip of the soul, which is again Vulcan, is now very strong. Okay, there's a lot to think through there, and what we need to do is we need to collect disciples who have certain signs and are going through certain processes in which we know to be at a certain level of evolution, and to see how these decanate factors work out in their lives. I was thinking about, my rising sign is in the last degrees of Cancer, something like 2249 or so. It's in the last decanite. It's ruled by the moon. It's ruled by Pisces in a way. And one could say Jupiter, but the DK does actually give the moon. And again, I suspect it's Vulcan found there because the extra zodiacal constellation associated with the last 10 degrees of Cancer are the great are the Great Bear, and Vulcan is ruling the head centers, seven head centers, and the Great Bear is ruling head centers far above in the great super cosmic logos, the one about whom naught may be said. So the moon is not ruling the head centers. Vulcan is, and Vulcan fits, therefore, much better with the Great Bear. There's kind of a Leo-Vulcan-Great Bear triangle, I think. And so the emergence of Vulcan at the end of Cancer makes sense to me. Now, I'm trying to see whether the moon can possibly represent any kind of sufficient strength on its own here in the Hercules decanate of Scorpio, and I think not. I think the moon does tend to veil other planets, and I have mentioned Uranus for occult mind and Neptune for intuition and so forth, but it seems to me that Vulcan is very needed here for the strength of will suggested by the dominating soul. The soul does take a grip on its personality, and I think many of us are experiencing this kind of proactive assertion on the part of this superior center. It is kind of a Vulcanian assertion. Okay, now we move on to the last of these decanate assignments. Okay, when I see things out of line, I kind of want to raise them, you know? All right. Here is that stage of human development which we can call initiatic. The individual is now able to focus within the causal body at will, has strong response to the spiritual triad, so the spiritual triad via the rainbow bridge can infuse his consciousness, and even there can be in the last phase here, the last of these six phases, monadic responsiveness, because the third degree is passed and the monad comes in as a conscious factor at that time. As I told you, I'm shying away from the idea that if you are an undeveloped man and operating in the 30 to 20 decanate, you're definitely in the instinctual phase of being the undeveloped man. Or if you're in the 20 to 10, you're definitely in the emotional phase. Or if you're in the 10 to 0, you're definitely in the mental phase. I find that that's a little bit too tight to seem real to me. Similarly, I'm shying away from the idea that if you are a developing man of whatever kind and you have begun to reverse the wheel, I'm shying away from the idea that from 0 to 10, you're definitely in some sort of personality phase, whether it is integrating your personality as a kind of achievement, which it is, or reorienting making of your personality a unit of aspiration towards something higher. If you're born from 0 to 10, I say, well, okay, there may be that kind of possibility, but it doesn't, we cannot say with surety that you are that. Nor am I saying that if you are on the reversing wheel, and you are born in Scorpio from 20 to 30, or in any other sign from 20 to 30, that you're definitely functioning as a disciple or soul. I think not. I think you can function as a disciple or soul and be born in any of the decanates. And this I think I can prove, although this is not the time to do so. I think we have great disciples, obviously at the soul phase, born in any of the decanates, and even initiates in any of the decanates, and lesser beings who are more personal in their approach in any of the decanates. So then I am also not saying that if you are born on the reversing wheel from 20 to 30, that you are definitely an initiate. No, I think not. There can be certain potentials that may be augmented if you are in a particular phase and you are born in that decanate or under that decanate in which there is a resonance between the decanate and the phase, then there can be a reinforcement. For instance, if I am an initiate of the third degree or beyond and I'm born in the final decanate, there may be a reinforcing resonance. If I am functioning as a soul already, and I could be born in any decanate, and I'm born in the middle decanate, then there's a reinforcing resonance. And if I am the personality either integrating or reorienting and aspiring, and I'm born in the first decanate, then again there is a resonance. But I think we have to be cautious about being too hard and fast about our assignments, saying that only those who are disciples upon the reversing wheel and soul responsive, that only such people will be born in the second decanate and not in the first or the third. Right, well anyway, we're in that stage, that general stage of development, which is triadal, although one is not fully focused in the triad until being a fourth degree initiate. It's triadally responsive, it's even monadically responsive, and let's just say focus is at will in the causal body, adding that. So let's look at the general factors involved here. We have entered the Mercurian stage of Scorpionic development, which doesn't mean, of course, that we leave Mars entirely behind. DK has said that as we move towards a new ruler of a sign, we subsume or embrace the old ruler. He discussed this, I think, in the Aquarius chapter, which our discussion about seems long ago. But under Mercury here, which is the hierarchical ruler, and he's a representative of the Sun of Mind, which is the soul, and he's especially the increasing representative of the intuition by means of which he will manage to dispel the illusion in which he has been held. So he is now the initiated disciple. And let's read what is said here. The initiated disciple is conquering the Hydra through the use of the intuition, not just might and main, not by the sword alone, although the sword can help at least to subdue and temporarily inhibit, but it doesn't solve the problem because deep intuitive understanding is needed to solve the problem and to realize that the problem is essentially an illusory one, one that is difficult within the field of illusion and glamour and Maya, but is not essentially real once those three opponents have been negated. So he's solving the problem of the Hydra through his realization, his growing realization, intuitive realization of its unreality. He is rising triumphant over the threefold, fourfold lunar nature. Actually, you know, if we think about it, Mercury rules the air. It's involved with the Buddhic plane, the first plane of air, involved with Gemini, and it has its wings, and with wings we fly into the air. So he now achieves the higher unity. We see here higher unity, the disciple, and I want to add here, really, the initiate as well. Let's see, we have here disciple, initiate, yes. So it's not, it's advanced man here is the aspirant, advanced man is the aspirant, and the disciple, initiate, is something other. We're speaking of the true disciple, who is probably, in this column, the accepted disciple, and who is close, fast, becoming the initiate. Okay, so, higher unity. He is achieving higher unity, which the intuition can see. That's one of the great meanings of intuition, the capacity to see the whole. And this is the very opposite of the unity of selfishness or the monster, we see here. Unity of selfishness, the monster, higher unity, the disciple. A complete reversal has occurred. The whole factor of reversal is so prominent on our planet of redemption, where we begin with tendencies from the earlier solar system which have to be countermanded, which have to be re-patterned. So it's the very opposite of the unity of selfishness which possessed him for vast ages during the initial phases of his evolutionary journey. So he has now the power to see through illusion. Now that's what Mercury gives. It's one of the planets of sight, along with Venus. Different eyes are involved, but there's, you know, when you have kind of a combination of Mercury, Venus, and Vulcan, you get the power of the third eye, and he's already beginning to develop this because he is a true initiate. The third eye has been developing all the way from the time an individual has been initiate of the first degree, and by the time we're a third degree initiate, it's becoming functional. So he has the power to see through illusion because his intuition under Mercury has been activated. He is triumphant Hercules. The ancient authority of the threefold personality is ended. Four of the five minds are in process of uniting. Well, usually we're told it's three minds unite, and we can look at this as the concrete mind, the son of mind, and the abstract mind. That's one way to do it. The other is the concrete mind, the abstract mind, and the universal mind. And if we want to look at all the minds that may be involved there, there may be five. Concrete mind, son of mind or soul mind, abstract mind, transcendental mind, which is the intuitive mind, and then finally the mind of law. It can be called nirvanic mind. It is atmic in its nature. And it fits because, you know, on the atmic plane, all knowledge is achieved, and we can certainly see the fulfillment of Mercury would bring that. So now, in this final stage of human development, which is the initiatic stage leading towards mastership, what's happening when Mars is the ruler, when the initiate is born in the Martian decanate? So I'm saying here the Kundalini is definitely awakening. This is a happening of the third degree, intensified at the fourth, and finally triumphant at the fifth, when the base of the spine center becomes the major center. The entire personality is becoming empowered as a servant of the soul. Mars, a planet of fortitude and power. Illumination is pouring in. From the lower serpent, he's becoming the serpent of wisdom. That's what an initiate is. The initiate has won the fearful conflict with the Martian personality. Now, over here, we see that fearful conflict. That's on page 71. We just looked at that. At the third initiation, the moon veiling a hidden planet and Mars begin a fearful conflict. Well, we do know that Mars is not going to win at that initiation in which the man becomes truly human, because Mars is much more associated somehow with the animal nature, with animation in general, with movement, with activity. So whatever this hidden planet is, it has to win. And Mars ruling the entire personality, we are told, at this initiation, the man is released from personality control. So the hidden planet is the one that is going to be dominant. Okay. So, this fearful conflict has been won with the Martian personality. This Martian personality is rapidly disillusioned, in a positive sense, quite literally, made free from illusion. Intuition reveals the nature of the lower serpent exactly, and the conflict with this serpent is ended. I would say that the power of the serpent can be used for higher purposes. Let the solar serpent now arise in might. His power is my own. The growing light of intuition and illumination render him powerful, but he is, let's just say at this point, a courageous initiate on behalf of the soul with which he is identified. So that's the Martian phase from 0 to 10. And then let's move to the Jupiterian phase, which I suppose has some subtones of the Sun, if we're going to believe Safariol, although the Tibetan is here not hinting at which is the more spiritual of the interpretations. Usually he gives that distinction to Alan Leo, but sometimes, interestingly, to Safariol, as in the case of the Gemini and Cancer signs and their decanates. So here is the Jupiterian phase. The initiated disciple here, is filled with wisdom and light. That's Jupiter. He intuitively, that's Jupiter again, intuitively understands how to use the serpent power to heal. He is the, let me put it in here in a way, he is the successful serpent handler. I'll try to make that in, successful, let me go back here, he is the successful serpent handler. He has brought harmony, Ray 4, to his own nature, because Mercury is powerful, the distributor of Ray 4, and he's buddhically responsive, and can bring it to others, because healing is harmony. Healing is harmonization. He has great depth of empathy. Neptune is in relation to Pisces and the Moon. He begins to live in the higher realms. Jupiter will bring him there. And Mercury suggests Buddhi. The Antikarana is built, and he can fuse Manas and Buddhi. And the Manas, I suppose, is in a way Venus, and Buddhi is Mercury. But Mercury can be considered as well mental, and Jupiter as Buddhic. He identifies, i.e., as a result of the Sun, as the triumphant soul, wise and inclusive in his understanding. This kind of a second-ray quality to this decanate, because it's ruled by Pisces and ruled by a great second-ray planet Jupiter, and Safariol is suggesting the Sun, which is also conveying the second ray. So this is using all of these hitherto violent, dangerous, poisonous energies in a constructive, holistic manner, bringing things together, integrating them, the power that draws all things together. This is what Jupiter can do. Now we move to the last of the decanates for the initiated disciple. He's under Mercury in terms of the general phase that he's passing through. He has not relinquished the virtues of Mars, which have been subsumed in Mercury, but he is under Mercury, and the initiate has triumphed through the assertion of buddhi, dispelling the reality of the illusion with which he has wrestled for many years. He has dispelled Maya, glamour, and especially illusion at this point, because the final Hydra in Scorpio represents the illusions of the mind, pride, separativeness, and cruelty. So he's on his way to take his place with those who are wise as serpents, and eventual, and I want to add the word here, lesser, and eventual lesser dragon of wisdom. The masters are lesser dragons of wisdom, and the planetary logos is the true dragon of wisdom. He has overcome the serpent of evil entirely, and that's the serpens of the first decanate, and especially when one is the average, non-aspiring, even primitive individual. He no longer defends, that's Cancer in the moon, his personality, see? I'm trying to bring in the zodiacal subset here to describe, because we should not only look at a planet as the ruler of a decanate, but the sub-zodiacal sign as well. This is, after all, this final one is Scorpio sub-Cancer. So we have to see how Cancer will operate for the initiate. It's quite different from the primitive, who is defending the only thing he understands himself to be, namely his body, and later his emotions, and later his mind. You know, the defensive posture. But this kind of heroic initiate is defending others. Rather, he defends the whole as a sacrificial protector. You see how the tenacity, the power, the ability to kill off the opposition, to banish it, of Scorpio blends here with the protective impulses of Cancer. So he defends the whole as a sacrificial protector, offering his power to help others as soul. He is a soul, and he's helping others. He's a conscious soul. He's an initiate. Help others recondition their lunar vehicles under Cancer so that they, the lunar vehicles, can express the bright glory of Hera, Heracles, Hercules. So they can express the bright glory of Hera, that is, the soul. Hercules has become the soul as an initiate. He is the not only the triumphant disciple, he is the one who is the initiate in later Scorpio. His life is entirely sacrificial. One thinks of the eighth petal of the egoic lotus and the idea of sacrifice through love. Okay, looks like I've been recording this all along. Okay. What we have here, we're turning to the eighth petal just to see what it looks like. So I guess those who have been on the, just listening to the audio, there's been a little bit of space here as I found it. This is the petal of love on the mental plane as unfolded through the conscious, steady application of all the powers of the soul to the service of humanity, with no thought of return, nor any desire for reward for the immense sacrifice involved. That's a high scorpionic attitude, filled with scorpionic virtues. All of the desire for recompense, the lower desires have been overcome, and one is truly willing to give rather than to receive, though, of course, one receives in that process. So his life is entirely sacrificial, and he is preparing for the fourth initiation. The moon is veiling Vulcan here. He has overcome the inhibitions to the third degree. He stands as a third degree initiate, preparing for the fourth, in which Vulcan is so prominent, the moon veiling Vulcan. Now, this would be interesting. Do we find that Scorpio is actually involved at the fourth initiation? DK seems to stop talking about it in a certain way at the third. Its peculiar testing potency is finished at the third degree, but there are other ways in which the destruction of the causal body depends upon plutonic factors. And Scorpio staging the release of Leo, that release of Leo is finally into the true spirit nature, even overcoming the lower type of identification, which is still very high, with the soul within the causal body. So I am hypothesizing that Scorpio is indeed involved at the fourth degree, and that the fall of the moon liberates man onto the Buddhic plane, and that this bringing in strength of the spiritual will fits well with the moon veiling Vulcan. I say further here that Uranus, Neptune, and Vulcan are conditioning his personality vehicles because he is, after all, an initiate of the third degree. So when the moon is in Aquarius, all the three veiled planets are operative, and it signals the taking of the third degree. I mean, not always, of course, when the moon's in Aquarius, but for a person at that stage of development, the moon in Aquarius is a help at integrating the vehicles and preparing them for transfiguration. He has become a strong, that's Vulcan, soul-infused, triadally receptive personality, even monadically receptive. Sometimes when we look at the monad, we can also think not only of Jupiter, not only of Neptune, not only of Uranus. We can think of Vulcan, the time when the spirit aspect seems to impact humanity strongest. Is at the Waysak Festival, which operates in Taurus, of course, and Taurus is ruled hierarchically by Vulcan. So the power of the monad, its descent into matter, its downward pilgrimage, its plunge into the lower five planes of human evolution, do, I think, suggest Vulcan. And for this reason, Vulcan is powerful, overcoming the personality entirely at the fourth degree, and as well contributing to the shattering of the causal body through the downward impressed might of the spirit. As stated, there are many ways in which the causal body is destroyed. At every level, there is contribution to its destruction, even at the personal level. The form then shatters the connection in the very last law of healing. But of course, the monad is involved, the second aspect of the will is involved, the jewel in the lotus is involved, the initiator is involved. From many different angles, the shattering of the causal body comes. Well, okay, friends, you know, I would like to be able to determine with certainty what may be the exact rulers of these decanates. If we go back here to the decanates in the landscape view, we see that Safariel has given us Mars, Sun, and Venus for the first, second, and third decanates, although, as I've said before, it may be possible to reverse these. But anyway, from Safariel's point of view, he would have us entering 30 to 20 Scorpio as primitive people under Venus. That certainly doesn't correlate with Hercules. So he would give us then, we would enter Venus, Sun, and Mars. But really what we're trying to do is put together two systems. Safariel did not at all discuss the possibility of a reversing wheel or of an initial clockwise wheel. He thought only in terms of the counterclockwise wheel, and when he said, or when the Chaldean system said, Mars, Sun, Venus, he thought 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30. The Tibetan enters with the idea of the reversing wheel, and so it is not necessarily justified to transpose Safariel's thought onto the Tibetan's thought by saying that 30 to 20 would be Mars, 20 to 10 would be Sun, and 10 to 0 would be Venus. So every decanate has its own quality, and he believed, Safariel believed, and that system, I suppose, believed, that these three planets represented these three qualities. So one finds it perhaps difficult to use his method, especially, well, really in any way, I suppose. Maybe if we end with Mars, we have some possibility, but beginning with Venus does not seem justified, especially if this third decanate correlates with Hercules. Now, who is Hercules to the primitive man? Well, Hercules is not the triumphant disciple to the primitive man. If you use the Herculean power, you're just fighting for yourself. You are the great strength who is fighting for your own instinctual nature. And I suppose Ophiuchus is handling the lower powers for his own purposes and can use this kind of knowledge not to heal, but for its reverse. As far as the serpent goes, well, we can certainly correlate serpent with the clockwise wheel and with many selfish instinctual powers. The reversing wheel seems justified as Alan Leo sees it. Mars, Jupiter, and the Moon, but as I said, the Moon tends to veil planets. And if we want to stick to the intra-Saturnian planets, as DK mostly does, maybe entirely does, mostly does anyway, in assigning decanate rulers, we would have Vulcan. And Vulcan fits very well with Herculean strength. Hercules is using great first-ray power, incredible will, incredible persistence, all of these Vulcanian virtues. He's using them to achieve his labors. I suppose, in a way, he also uses Pluto. He shoots arrows and so forth. He destroys. He's also using Mars, certainly. As far as Uranus and Neptune, they are trans-Saturnian planets. He does not use them in the same way. Maybe he becomes very ingenious in Aquarius under Uranus and diverts the two rivers, the Alpheus and Peneus rivers, to clean out the stables. So that's kind of a Uranian thing he does. But the incredible power applied to the three worlds on behalf of a higher purpose is Vulcanian. When I look at that moon, and he tells us there is a new planet arising in this sign, I think Vulcan is suitable. Now, he's already talked about Pluto as a ruler and definitely connected to Scorpio. Is Pluto the new planet arising? It is trans-Saturnian. It's already been related to Scorpio. And it's, in a way, it's new, but it's also known at the time he's writing. So since he's written about it in many other ways, why not simply mention it? Because it's no longer esoteric. It is stated to be related to Scorpio. So why not just say so? But I don't think the last word is in here, nor should we pontificate about it and say it must be thus or so. We can only offer our reasons at this point, because experimentation still has to be done. So I'm experimenting with Vulcan as veiled by the moon in the third decanate, the Herculean decanate. Of course, some people, as I said, even believe that Ophiuchus should be changed with Hercules, but Ophiuchus seems to carry more the power of the second ray in relation to the second decanate, and Hercules the power of the will rather than wisdom and knowledge, as is the case for Ophiuchus. So the thing to do, I think, is study Scorpio people in history, make an estimation as to their relative initiatory status, see the decanate in which they are born, or perhaps the decanate under which they are functioning, and see the quality of that decanate, if one can, expressing in their life. Great positive symbols will not be great and positive if applied to a primitive, selfish human being. There will be an inversion of their powers. And that inversion is something we always have to take into consideration. Let's just say, if it's really true that the great celestial dragon, Draco, is an extra zodiacal constellation correlated with the last decanate of Sagittarius, you know, we can question whether these correlations are always certain, then there have been some people born there that are not at all representing a positive power of Draco. Joseph Stalin, I think, was born in the more or less in the very last degree of the latter degrees, maybe the last degree of Sagittarius. He was a student at a monastery intending to become a priest. Interestingly, the Sagittarian theme worked out there. Instead, he became kind of a priest of socialism. But that dragon power was not, maybe it was very present, but it was used in what many people would call a selfish and self-serving manner. It was not used in an altruistic manner. It was used simply as a servant of the will and his ideas of what should be. So even the very positive constellations, when applied to those who are still working at the primitive or at the personality stage, must be used by those forms in a somewhat inverted manner. And the highest spiritual potentials will not show. That's something to consider as we're looking at these extra zodiacal constellations. One looks at a huge, wonderful constellation like Orion, and one wonders whether, to what extent it will influence the primitive human being. Will the fact that Orion was blinded before his sight was restored have something to do with the way it functions for a primitive human being, or will it function as a great hunter with a great lower ego and so forth? See, the highest types of expression can only be applied to the developing man. And even then, we can't say the highest types of expression, because there are probably beings far higher than the developing man to whom a still higher type of expression of these great constellations would be applied. In other words, the truer nature of these great constellations would express through the still higher beings. So DK calls this a very fluid area. I'm not sure people know themselves quite well enough to detect what particular type of energy is operating through the decanate which holds important planets and points in their chart. So I think it is very worthy of study. I think that decanates will reveal appearance to a degree, but not necessarily the decanate rulers that DK gave. I think appearance is revealed mostly by the Alan Leo system, which is the Hindu system, which gives us a sign and its sub-zodiacal ruler. In this case, Scorpio, 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 Pisces, Scorpio, Cancer. The people found in these areas of a sign will, I think, show a physical appearance which reflects with the main zodiacal sign and its sub-zodiacal associate. And then, of course, the ordinary ruler will as well be involved. And this type of physiognomical study, when there is a sufficient sample, I think can be undertaken with profit. And of course, what this means, if the outer appearance reflects the signs of the zodiac and the sub-sign, then the etheric body must somehow be an example of these energies. And since the etheric body is, in a way, a reflection of what the causal body is, then the causal body must be affected by such a combination. And that effect will be a very interesting advanced psychological study when psychologists are initiates and naturally clairvoyant and can see the energies coming in and how the energies condition form. So we have so much to look forward to in the clarifying of these energies. Right now it might be just sufficient for the astrologically inclined person who knows a little bit about astrology to isolate his sun sign decanate, the subzodiacal ruler, the colors associated, the rulers associated, usually in the Alan Leo system, and then finally, for the deepest understanding, the rulers either definitely given or hinted at by Master DK, which are, I think, fairly frequently different from the more predictable Hindu system of Alan Leo. And then with that kind of close examination of all of those factors, look into the life for the expression of the qualities there represented and see if they do correlate. You know, in my own case, I have Cancer as kind of a Pisces decanate of Cancer with, I suppose, Jupiter and Neptune ruling in conventional sense, but the moon ruling according to the Tibetan associated with Vulcan. Vulcan being associated with the head centers, 7, and the head centers being associated with the Great Bear, and the Great Bear being the extra zodiacal constellation associated with the third decanate. So when I look at my own life and I look for the quality here and I see is anything showing association with this third decanate, I realize that years ago, colleagues and I started the University of the Seven Rays based upon the Seven Rays, and our logo was the Great Bear, and it still is. And I was influential in, what should I say, insisting, strongly suggesting that that be the logo. And the whole role that the Great Bear has played in my life in terms of the study of the seven rays and the university of seven rays and so forth. So I think, even though I don't want to make too much of this, I think I can find a qualitative suggestion from that third decanate of Cancer, which shows that it holds a degree of accuracy for the way my life, especially my more spiritual part of my life, has expressed. And maybe you can find something similar as you do this for yourselves. When it comes to if I look at my sun sign, for instance, it's Aries, but it's in the Leo decanate of Aries, and I just feel that I have so much Leo connected with me, but I usually find that in decanates and Dwadashamshas and so forth. The sun is definitely important, and Leo, in what I do. So I find it in certain internal charts, and I find it right there at the decanate placement of the sun in the decanate of Aries ruled by the sun. And the sun is elevated in the chart, one of the highest planets, conjunct the midheaven. So this reinforces for me the power of that decanate in how I've handled my maybe personality life, been out there in front, been a director of many things, including operas, but, generally taking a leadership position, using the first ray energies there of Aries and Leo and the sun. The sun is the second ray planet, but not a planet, but basically it has such an overpowering influence on that which is going on in our solar system. It is the authority. So I've always been in authoritative positions, most always, and the Aries-Leo combination just really makes sense for how I've handled my personality life. So I found these things in my chart. And I would suggest that with as much subtlety as possible, and looking at the different combinations of rulers offered on this chart, you know what I'd like to do here for you, just to make sure you get this. I'd like to very slowly go down this chart so you can freeze it at any point you wish, and then examine it and study it and print it if you wish. So I'm just going to go slowly down the different signs of this chart so you can see the way this has all been laid out. And as you look for the rulers of your decanates, perhaps you can find them here and see which system seems to make the most sense to you, which associated extra-zodiacal constellation seems to be spiritually or psychologically resonant with you, and thereby a deeper level of your own astro-psychology will be revealed, and greater understanding of the life you're leading as a disciple will emerge. Okay, friends, I haven't completed 2 hours here, not yet, but I'm pretty close, as I've just kind of elaborated here at the end. And what I'd like to do is close with the great invocation. And whoopsie, it's not so good. Yes, closing with the great invocation, and then moving on to the Libra chapter. We spent quite a bit of time working in Scorpio, haven't we? But it's such a rich chapter. And, of course, the Tibetan goes on these illuminative digressions, which in a way bring me to make even further digressions, not as illuminative, of course. So we've had quite a few programs on Scorpio. Hopefully this method of listening and considering will be useful to you. So let's close with the Great Invocation. Closing, in a way, this two-hour segment with the Great Invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, this has been number 80. We will continue with 80, but it will be 80C. This is the best way for me to do it in order not to waste time with conversions, turning on the conversion at night so that no time that can be used for speaking is used for converting. And we will continue our work together shortly, taking up the Libra chapter, the Master of No Man's Land, this elusive, difficult to understand sign. Maybe it's only difficult for me because I'm an Aries, you know, opposite Libra, so always the sign opposite your sun sign can be considered a little difficult for you to understand and important for you to incorporate. And we'll just call it a day for the moment, and then continue our work.